are handcuffed, and that's what happened last night.
The police kicked in the door, shot him twice in the chest, and died.
Before you knew it, we had 500 families. We had over 100 volunteers calling us. We were on the phone constantly.
I can't get it. And I got one police department telling me they don't know who's in charge. I got another police department here. Everybody's got a gun, and nobody knows who's in charge. Did anybody figure out who's in charge yet? Is there anybody in charge yet? Any police officer in charge? Are you in charge? I can't find anybody in charge. That's the problem.
It is Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on the Revolution Radio Network, and this is the Idavox Report.
Can I tell you how much I love the theme music? It's done by Midnight Transit, y'all. For those who don't know, Dylan Chambers, him and his father, Lester Chambers of the Chambers Brothers, was on a couple of weeks ago. And I'm going to be forever grateful that he's given us this music because it's just pumps ya whenever you hear it. How y'all doing, everybody? I'm Darlamont Jenkins, and Brian is with us today.
Hey, everybody.
And the legendary Brian Powers. Christian Perez make it today. So it's just going to be the two of us. We don't have any guests. We don't have anything but ourselves right now. And we're just going to just shoot the shit, really.
Happy birthday to Mrs. Perez, Christian's wife. And that's the reason why he's not here tonight. So we, you know, his excuse is valid. He's got a little, he's definitely got a valid excuse there. So happy birthday.
And anybody that else that's celebrating a birthday, happy birthday to you too. Now, needless to say, I'm a little loopy. I got a toothache, so I got to handle this. Today's show is sponsored by Ambisol. And I wonder if we're going to get in trouble for that one.
Do you have your Ambisol? Do you have your medical Ambisol card?
I didn't know I needed one, but I don't smoke, so this is going to be the next best thing.
If the cops want to arrest you for it, they'll arrest you for it. All of a sudden, they just figure out that Ambisol's illegal that day, and then you'll be in court for years on end.
Yeah. Hey, I was able to get it over the counter.
I got my drugs over the counter too. I still got arrested for it.
Oh yeah, truly, but it wasn't certified over the counter stuff. You know, I mean, that's
it was. I had completely legal medical cannabis on me. They gave it back to me, dude. The sheriff's Middlesex County, the sheriff's department gave me my weed back. This is a
wait a minute.
Story.
What is the law now? See, I'm a little confused because what is the law in Jersey in regards to cannabis and regards to drugs and marijuana? What's up, Punks for Progress?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, guys? Actually, we're gonna talk a good part about this with our medical cannabis expert, Leah, who actually has a degree, a minor from Stockton in cannabis studies. But I'll tell you this, that at the time of my arrest, I had medical cannabis in the medical jar with my medical cannabis card on me. And they threw me in jail anyway, because the cop was just, he has a small penis. It's very tiny. And he got upset that day because he's got a small penis and I was smoking weed. So I went to jail. they, so I went to court. So then they slapped some resisting arrest charges on me because I called them a pig. Oops. And then
I would have gotten shot.
Right. When I went to court the first time, I said, hey, the judge asked what I had my card and stuff. So they dropped all the possession charges on me. And I told them that, hey, since they dropped this, can I go get my weed back? Because, you know, I was kind of out of weed and I needed a pinch. And they said, okay. So I went down. I went to the sheriff's locker. At first, the court parents got my weed back, took some selfies, smoked my weed out by the train station and all that. I am still – now, this was – I was arrested well over a year ago. I'm charges. The other charges are still pending. The other, they never dropped the other charges. I'm still, I still have, I've been through like four or five court appearances. I'm not going to say too much. I have an attorney, but I'll tell you this, that it's for, I still have charges pending. They won't drop the rest of the charges.
You know why? Yeah. But I got to tell you, there are some brothers and sisters out there just looking at this going, this is the epitome of white privilege. It really you know is. What? This would have gone completely differently if this was any of us, and I don't smoke, and I could get in trouble for weed. So it's like, it's crazy. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why they want to decriminalize everything, because they know it's BS. They know it's BS. And like I said, I mean, I grew up in a clean family, you know, but I can't say so much for my brother. He smokes like a chimney, but but
well, I mean, I do really use it for a medical reason. It does help me with my anxiety. I'm a little happier when I smoke. It does kind of take my own depression. And seeing as you can't really get psychiatric care in this country when you're poor, you know, I get my Lexapro, but that needs to be adjusted, quite frankly. I can't get it. I couldn't get it when I was living in Jersey. I couldn't get the care that I needed because there was only like so many psychologists available. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that whole conversation, you know, but white privilege is definitely a big part of it. And the shock to my system was even pointed out to me by some comrades who said, oh, you got treated like one of us for one day. And now look at you, you know, and you know, it really did strike home. Like, yeah, I went through this, you know, one day, a couple hours, honestly, the whole ordeal lasted like 6 hours. They threw me in the can for a few hours. I got out and, you know, whatever, but I was shocked by being grabbed by a 300-pound man and wrestled and then being accused of assaulting him. You know, to know that there's others that go through that so regularly, it because of the, you know, they live in certain communities or the color of their skin or whatever, you know, it does. It's definitely something that I had a lot of discussions about since, you know.
I mean, we're kind of used to that, though. I mean, we're kind of used to things being different whenever it's us versus them. You know, when I say them, this case, because I'm going to do a segue here. I'm talking about whenever we're out there marching, whenever we're out there protesting, whenever we're out there rallying, we'll have the weight of the entire police force on us. And we saw something totally different about a month ago at the U.S. Capitol. And everybody's been talking about that, about the different ways that people respond to the various things that have been going on, whether you're talking about last year when everybody was protesting against Black Lives Matter and things are flaring up, or if you're talking about the insurrection at the Capitol. And yeah, some people are getting arrested now, but we would have gotten arrested then. We would have gotten arrested right there on the spot. We would never even been able to go home or anything like that. And now, I think it's at a point where people want to see some folks who were at the Capitol be held accountable, in particular, those who have put that whole thing together. Because the truth be told, what happened at the Capitol was created, and it was created from on high, as far as a lot of people are concerned. I mean, Mitch McConnell apparently seems to think so. Our Senate Minority Leader, he said flat out that the guy who used to be in the White House, Donald Trump, was responsible for what we saw on January 6th. But they had an out this week when they chose not to convict him because he wasn't in the White House anymore. We do know. I would be upset. I would be upset if I thought that was the end of the story. But I don't think it is. As a matter of fact, we got a little bit of we got a little bit more of a story that's coming up in regards to that today, because yeah, he could, as far as everybody, as far as the Republicans in the Senate are concerned, he could not be convicted because he was no longer in the White House. Okay, fine, but you still have to he still has to be held accountable. And even Mitch McConnell says that he hasn't gotten away with anything yet. Now I hope he doesn't mean that we're planning on helping that along too, but I think that what we are we're seeing is people definitely going to be working towards giving him some sort of comeuppance, whether it's going to be in the criminal courts or the civil courts, because right now we found out today that there is a lawsuit that was filed by a congressman that basically names him and a number of other people, including the Proud Boys. The Proud Boys are catching all the hell that people can muster up. It's a civil suit. It's just a civil suit. Right now, I meant to have this drawn up already, but I cannot find the story. Is happening. Oh, I'm looking at it now. I got Reuters' story about it. Okay, and basically, well, first of all, it says that he's still in trouble because he's fair game for legal charges, criminal charges, and Mitch McConnell had said that much to begin with. But now, and this is something that Donald Trump is pretty much used to, he's getting sued, as I said, by a congressman, and I believe the NAACP is involved with this as well. I mean, you know, Benny Thompson, he's a congressman, I believe, out of Mississippi, and he is suing Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, and that's going to be fun for me. Rudy Giuliani getting sued, because this is the guy who made himself the law and order mayor in New York City, and here he is in trouble for breaking the law. But they're accused of conspiring with the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers in regards to the insurrection. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this. If this proceeds, CNN reports, it will mean that the former president and the others will be subject to discovery and depositions. Bear with me here. That's what I get for using the CNN link. it says, if it proceeds, it would mean the former president and others will be subject to discovery and depositions, potentially exposing details and evidence that weren't released during the Senate impeachment trial. And I think that's what they're going for. That's what they're going for. We have the ability to do something to the folks that were responsible. And we are realizing that now. Donald Trump hasn't gotten away with anything yet. Donald Trump will not get away with anything. I don't think any of his supporters that were there that day will get away with anything. Proud Boys, as I said before, I think they're going to be the biggest fall guys. I think they're going to be the biggest fall guys in all of this. They're falling apart. There's a little bit of infighting because it came out sometime last week that their leader, Henry Tarrio, has been outed as a federal informant. So Brian James, who runs the Indiana chapter of the Proud Boys, who, by the way, is an old white supremacist that's been around for years, he is the first to say that his chapter will not have anything to do with the national leadership of the Proud Boys. Another chapter started to follow suit. So we're going to see what happens with them, but I think the Proud Boys are pretty much done. It's going to be whatever happens in the future with anybody that calls themselves the Proud Boys are going to be pretty much under a different name. Maybe Brian James's other group, the American Guard, will swallow that up. Who knows? We will see. And in regards to what Jamie was saying, he's they're saying that hoping the D.C. Attorney General files charges. Well, we'll see. You know, we will see. And I think it may be the case because Merrick Garland is going to be the next attorney general, and he has a history of going after domestic terrorists. I mean, he prosecuted Tim McVeigh. Post of Progress is asking, did you happen to see that the SPLC has issued a new updated hate map? I got to check that out. I haven't been able to check that out yet. I do know that they did something pretty interesting. They had decided that they're no longer going to, at the very least, put what they call black racists and all that, black nationalists and all that, in the same category as the white, as white nationalists, as white racists and all. That's new. That's very new.
Can you tell me what that means? Like when they say, when they define black racists and white racists, how does the, and when we talk about SPLC,
I'm being facetious when I say that.
The SPLC, we are referring to the Southern Poverty Law Center, correct?
Right. Correct. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. I just wanted to clear that up because I'm still learning some of this stuff myself. So I appreciate that.
Something came down the pike in regards to the SPLC is not going to be putting them in the same category as the domestic terrorists that we know. You know, I mean, we're not going to be seen. They're not going to be seen, and it's only fair because when you're talking about that element, they make the point that a lot of the brothers and sisters that are a part of those elements were created by white supremacy. They were doing that. They were getting involved. That became the thing, the way to fight back, because that was the way that, you know, white supremacists say the game was going to be played. So we said, okay. So a lot of people basically went the nationalist route and started rejecting a lot of everything that was white, you know, and it's not the same thing. I even made it. Somebody decided years ago to make a meme out of a quote that I had from something that I had said. I forgot where I said or where I wrote it. I think it was where I wrote it. It was like, you are not going to, if you are a black nationalist, if you are involved in black autonomy, as far as I'm concerned, you are not in the same league as white supremacists and such, you know. The biggest difference is electability and a body count, number one. But there also is the motivation, really. I mean, we were created by white supremacists, honestly. And in the end, we are not looking to dominate. It's like one of the sisters said at the beginning of everything that happened over the summer, be happy that we're just looking for justice and equality and not revenge. I'm paraphrasing what she said. The truth of the matter is that's not our focus. Our focus is to build. Our focus is to grow. We are getting into the positions that we want to get into, and there's nothing to be afraid of in regards to that. We will still have the society that accommodates everyone, because that's the kind of society that we are looking for. So the Southern Poverty Law Center said, you know what, we're not going to be putting who they prefer to call black racists or whatever in the same category. We're done with that. We're going to stop now. And there hasn't been any blowback. There really has not been any blowback from it. And I think that's one of the coolest things about it. I mean, it isn't like Fox News is complaining yet. Maybe they don't know yet. Or
tomorrow morning I'll have a special report on Fox and Friends.
Oh no, I'm just waiting for Fox and Friends to talk about the complain about this, especially the crew on the weekend. Because their person on the weekend is a guy, one of their guys on the weekend is a guy named Pete Hegseth. And this guy, he's straight up a whack job. And I mean, he's one of those guys, incidentally, I mean, one of the ways that I definitely know him from is because he is promoting something that he prefers to call Convention of the States. And really, it's actually a constitutional convention, you know? And we haven't had one of the, and the reason why they want to do that, a Convention of the States to add amendments to the Constitution, as him and his friend Mark Meckler, who really spearheads this this effort to have a Convention of the States. This is what they want to do. They want to add amendments to the Constitution because, in Mark Meckler's words, they're upset because the left is able to use the Constitution to their needs, to their advantage, and there's too many advantages for the left in the Constitution right now, which basically means take an effing hint. But they don't take the hint. They basically said, oh, since the left, which means everybody that isn't them, is benefiting from the Constitution, we need to have a Convention of the States or Constitutional Convention to fix that. The reason why I'm saying Constitutional Convention is because they don't want to. And the reason why they don't want to is because we haven't had one of these things since the 18th century. And it was to write the Constitution. So basically what they want to do is rewrite the Constitution. A constitutional convention would mean that not just their amendments would be considered, but also anything else anyone wants to throw onto the table. They think that they're going to run the table, and people are going to be like, which means that there are going to be a total rewrite of the Constitution and a lot of things that we are not going to be down with, and a lot of things are going to go through that we cannot abide by, and voila, breakup of the United States because we're not ratifying the new Constitution. So that's what they're really looking for. P. Hedge says there's an anti-Muslim bigot. He has a tattoo on his arm that says Deus Vult. And if anybody knows, for those who don't know, Deus Vult to Muslims is Sieg Heil to people of the Jewish community. You know, I mean, basically white supremacy is something that comes from the Crusades. It means God wills it. And whenever you hear it today, it's coming from white supremacists. And Pete Hedgeseth has it on his arm. So that's the kind of thing that we are dealing with in this day and age. That's the kind of people that we are having to fight. So keep an eye out for that kind of stuff. So if he complains about what the SPLC is doing, later for him. He doesn't have anything worth a damn to say that matters, you know? So
I guess, I mean, so you I think your conversation is really good because you kind of started off referencing, you know, what's going on in the Senate. And we did a whole special last week on how gutless the Senate acted and all that. But really, you know, what I'm fearing and what you're addressing better than anybody else in the country, as far as I'm concerned, is the grassroots parts of this movement that gave rise to Trump and are going to continue to support Trump because we didn't hand them the defeat when we had the chance. And I guess so, like, are you, when you're watching the news, I don't know how much, like, I've taken in a lot of the corporate media over the last couple of weeks. It's really disturbing how poorly they report. Are you feeling, you've been way more positive than I have. I don't know if you've noticed. All right. But like, I'm just saying, like, are you feeling a little more positive or a little more negative a few weeks into kind of seeing things develop, especially, you know, after the acquittal and all that?
I'm a little bit more, I'm always optimistic. I'm always a glass half full kind of guy. And that's only because I know that we aren't realizing our full potential and all we do is have to, you know? I think in many respects, the frustration will build when we don't. And I am a little bit more optimistic because I think that we are trying to. We are trying to do the things that we need to do, because I think people are pretty much at the point where we have to. The Proud Boys need to get their behinds kicked. Oath Keepers need to get their behinds kicked. QAnon needs to get their behinds kicked. And it's been a long time coming. I think basically January 6th, all of those groups presented them to us gift wrapped, really. And we just have to take advantage of it. And a lot of things that we have been trying to do over the past 4 years alone, never mind the past 10, 20, 30 years, but the past 4 years alone, the things that we've been trying to do, we can finally do. You know, I mean, it's just a matter of, we just got to focus on it and just take care of business. I mean, am I a fan of the current leadership in the United States? Not really, to underscore a fact, but I am going to take the opportunity that is presented. I think if anything, we got to do that. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when we do, and we are successful in that regard. But the bottom line is, at least we can see. You feel me? I mean, Biden wasn't my first choice. Truly wasn't my first choice. He's probably dead last, but I'll work with anybody who is trying to do anything, even if it does mean using him being in office as an advantage. You know, basically what he's doing right now is cleanup. He's basically fixing everything that Donald Trump broke. And that's what's motivating everybody to have a little bit of confidence in what's happening over the past couple of weeks. He hasn't even been in office a month yet. He hasn't become what he wants to be yet. When that comes, then we might have some questions.
So you talked about the strategy of white supremacists to do a constitutional convention, and that's something that I would like to do if I had a different country to do it in. And I think that it's a matter of, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that our constitution is an oily rag scribbled by drunken white men so they could own other people. You know, yeah. I don't really admire the constitution like others in this country do. So I really don't care. But if we were to hand power over and do it in this kind of climate, I agree. It would be a fucking disaster, and we would create civil war and all that. So where, you know, where we work on educating people about white supremacists, I think it's also important that we do, you know, all this grassroots work of educating people, because ultimately, you know, I'm a revolutionary and I want that revolution to happen, but I'm a peaceful guy. I also have children on this planet, so I don't need people shooting each other on it, you know? So, you know, I hope that, you know, we can start to address a little more of what we're seeing on the ground in our public sphere. And I'm not seeing that, because we're pushing hard with Ida Vox and One People's Project and all our grassroots work. And meanwhile, I don't know that when you say, like, I'll work with Biden if I can, I don't see him as anybody I can work with because of what he's connected
it's to. Not so it's much Biden.
White supremacy, you know?
It's not so much Biden that I'm talking about working with. I'm talking about, you know, those folks who have been trying, basically low-level folks. I mean, you can't, my honest to God opinion is, you can't really trust politicians as far as they can throw them. But when I say that I could work with Biden, that's only to a very small extent. I mean, I think that basically we have to use the opportunity to gain that momentum for ourselves. I mean, if a door is open, I'm going through it. Your door is open, by the way. and it's not so much because, you got to remember this too. It's not so much because of Biden that we are where we are today. It's because of us. We were the ones that identified the folks in Charlottesville. We are the ones that identified the folks from January 6th. We are the ones we always said we was going to put the government's feet to the fire after Trump was out of there. Okay, this is us doing that. And we're fighting some folks who do not want us to do that are supposed to be on our side. I remember just before January 6th, people were trying to tell us, it's over, Trump lost, we won, we don't have to oppose these guys anymore. When they go out to rally, stay home. And that was the biggest mistake that you could make. That was the biggest mistake that you can make. And January 6th showed us that. If we were out there before January 6th, we were out there on November 14th when they had a rally, or December 12th when they was rallying, they would think twice about trying to pull some crap over on January 6th because they know that we would have opposed them in some way. And the truth of the matter is, I'll say it again, we have the tools at our disposal. Because Biden is in office now, a lot of folks who felt that they couldn't do anything because Donald Trump was there now feel differently. Those are the people I want to work with. And as I'm working with them, I could tell them, you know, you had the power. It'd be like Wizard of Oz. You had the power within you all along. Just clap three times and say, there's no place like revolution.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. We got to do something with that.
So, I mean, but that's where I'm at. And so my feeling is everybody's just got to be ready for whenever these knuckleheads pop up again. People are talking, oh, my calendar's back there. People are talking about March the 4th. They're supposed to be coming out and doing some sort of thing. QAnon's supposed to be pulling some stunt. It remains to be seen. Basically, the whole deal is in the mind of people who are stupid enough to believe whatever QAnon says. The real inauguration day is March 4th, and Donald Trump is going to fly down on a golden horse with wings and retake the White House. So they're all going to be there or some silly shit like that and help him into the White House. So we'll see what happens on March 4th. But we got other things that are happening. I keep talking about...
I really wish people would recognize this cult. Jesus Christ.
They're trying to. We're trying to now. People, you know, we're really trying to when you have right wingers trying to say they never heard of the group when they talked about them 6 months before. But I would say that I think they're on their last legs too. They'll move on to the next thing. It all depends on us again. But there's a lot of things that are coming down the pike that we need to keep an eye on. I know we got another White Power concert happening in New Jersey. On Juneteenth, no less, I believe. On Juneteenth. I mean, I know it's a black metal show, but that's not what we were looking for. So we'll be getting more information on that. I might be wrong with those dates. I got to make sure about that. So I believe it is on June 19th. So let me pursue that a little bit more because we still don't know where it is. The guy isn't telling anybody where it is. So, and we also got the conference in Tennessee.
We'll find out.
Oh, I know it. I just don't know it off the top of my head.
Anybody thinking about, you know, anybody thinking about hanging out and seeing some bands that night? Don't worry. We'll find out.
Oh, we'll find out. Yeah. You're going to have to see some other bands that night. We also have the conference that's happening in Tennessee. The American Renaissance Conference is supposed to be happening on May 21st to the 23rd. We're going to have, hopefully we'll have somebody to talk about to next week to talk about that and the fight against the state of Tennessee who wants to try to prevent people from protesting in state parks. And that's where these conferences are held. So we're going to, we're definitely going to be having that person on. I believe it's going to be Beth Foster from Dangerous Ideas Collective, dangerousideascollective.org. Hopefully we can have her on. I'm going to hit her up, and it's going to be a good time. Punks for Progress says something that's important. One thing a Biden administration does is it diverts the street fash focus onto state mechanisms more so than the marginalized people on the street they targeted under Trump. Yes, it does. It does. And that's one of the reasons why you got to be very careful, and I definitely have to be careful since I got an eyeball. I got more than a few eyeballs on me as I'm dealing with the White House or any like mainstream politician in general. You got to make sure that no matter how much you get involved with mainstream anything corporate, and that's real. Government is corporate. When you deal with anything corporate, make sure you have the safety net that you created for yourself. So if that falls apart, you can still keep going. You can still keep advocating. You can still keep making things happen. So yeah, that's definitely important. It's one of the reasons why you didn't see even me trying to get involved with any, trying to be actually a member of the Democratic Party to do this. I would have never been able to do stuff like this as a Democrat. No way. Or any major
party. What the Democratic Party does. This is not what a political party. Not what a political party is. This is the kind of work, honestly, like as I get away from electoral work, and I still report on electoral stuff, honestly, man, just because I know it, because I followed it for fucking, you know, 30 something since high school, and I'm 44 now, you know, and it's like, it's hard for me to kind of pull away from that knowledge base a little bit. But as I force myself away from it and into the grassroots and the media and the journalism work and finding guys like you and members of our editorial board and stuff that have engaged in journalist work, you know, I'm really trying to suck, because I do see it as doing more good than campaigning for douchebags, man. All I was doing with these unions was just campaigning for douchebags who ultimately betrayed even the most basic of asks every time. It was horrible. I just got tired of it, man.
It is frustrating because the only thing that they want from you is just your vote. Your vote and whatever money you're going to throw their way. Because that's the only thing that they're looking to do. They ultimately are really not looking to govern. They'll govern so much enough to keep the society stable so that we're not bitching too much. But ultimately, they're not looking to actually give society what we want.
Nah.
You know, that's one of the reasons why I say the safety net. That's up to us. Yeah. That's up to us. We got to build that thing.
I agree. And I like the idea of building independent systems. Yeah. No, I like the idea of building independent systems, and media is just one of them. You know what I'm saying? When you talk revolution, you're talking about, mm-hmm. you know, massive upheavals and things getting changed on a massive scale. And so I think media is just one thing, man, but it's becoming something that I draw into more in a way. And I think that's kind of the key. If you're stuck in that electoral world, and I know good comrades I got into the areas that I got into with kind of liberal electoral politics, got staff jobs, they're organizers for NGOs and shit like that. They are doing some wonderful work off the clock.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they take the skills that they're getting paid for by douchebags, almost having to pay the bills to do the work they really want to do. And that's a sad statement on how we treat activists and how we base build and how we, you know, on the left. I mean, you got to look at yourselves and say, how am I treating the people in my organizations? And, you know, why aren't we getting work done? Well, it's because we don't feed our people. We don't build independent organizations. We don't have revolutionary establishments in this country. And, you know, thank God.
That's
people working on it. There's people working on it. Not
people bad. Worked on it and had it. I mean, but they lost them. I don't. And the reason why I'm saying that, because I gotta take it from the political arena and into the internet arena, you know, because when the internet started, everybody had a website. Everybody had their own platforms. But then Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, you know, we use them. Yes. But that's part of what I was talking about with the safety net. Everybody's always talking about cancel culture because you can get bounced off of Facebook for saying the wrong thing, or bounced off of Twitter for saying the wrong thing, or YouTube or whatever. First of all, cancel culture really was created by the right. For all their complaints about the left canceling them, cancel culture once upon a time used to be called the McCarthy era. All right. But the difference between cancel culture coming from the left is that you are actually earning the ass whipping you get by the culture. If you are a bigot, if you are saying bigoted things, I don't want to be a part of you. So I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Now, when the right does it, they're just mad because someone's complaining about police brutality. Ask Colin Kaepernick. You know, I mean, so we have to recognize that, number one. That's why I came up with that. But number two, we also have to recognize the fact that we have to maintain our own platforms. You know, the right gets kicked off of Twitter and Instagram and all that. So what do? They go to places like Telegram or start something up like Gab or Parler or something. Parler's back today. We, on the other hand, we used to have indie media. We used to have a website called infoshop.org. Riseup.net used to be around once upon a time. They're not as strong as they used to be if they still exist. That's got to change. That's got to change. You got to bring those back. You got to bring back your own social networks again. I mean, I have three websites. I mean, they're not social network websites, but if somebody was to shut me down on any of the platforms I just mentioned, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or whatever, so what? I got my own. I got my own websites. I'm getting my story out there. I'll use email and shoot things. I have a mailing list. You can use that. So everybody else has to have that same attitude, you know. Bring back indie media, for example.
Yeah. It's how we can really hold people accountable.
Yeah, that is how you hold people accountable. That is the way we do things.
Somebody has to explain to me, in any society without an independent media, how you hold powerful people accountable. How? The courts don't work. I've been to court all the time. Nobody gives a fuck about a poor person walking into a court. A rich person never goes to court because they just pay a lawyer to walk into court for them. So there's no justice in the court system. There's no justice in our electoral system because it's just all white supremacists taking up every space that they can. So where, and money, nobody has any money. How do you hold rich people accountable if you don't have people, you know, working on things like the Idavox Network and JR Live and writing blogs and doing those things? Now, the problem with it is the runaway, right? The access to media for QAnon, for anti-vaxxers, there's like that balance. I guess that's where the struggle comes in. We gotta outproduce them when it comes to good content, right?
Yeah, exactly. And Light Thief just popped in. They've been doing that out of Philly for a while, so everybody support them. Light Thief, if you can, contact information that you can provide. I've been working with them. The first time I started working with Light Thief, they were they were covering the Proud Boy rally that wasn't over in Clark Park in Philadelphia. Proud Boys announced that they was going to have a rally in Clark Park in Philadelphia, which is in the heart of a neighborhood that Proud Boys are really not welcome in.
I didn't mean to write it. Hashtag support indie media. We should say that for our podcast. But it's from Light Thief Production. Absolutely. I'm gonna find a hashtag and retweet it for you, comrades. Thank you.
Yeah, but they didn't have it. So basically we just enjoyed each other's company. So definitely hype up Light Thief and Light Thief Productions and other podcasts out there. Support Idavox. Me and Luis was talking about a group that we're a part of, the Anti-Fascist Unity Coalition. You can find that at daysofunity.org. And Luis, as he's pointing out right now, his podcast is called This Pod. His podcast has been declared a riot. Am I correct? Am I correct, Luis? Just look for that. These are the things that we need that are going to get us forward, move us forward. It'll definitely make all the difference. I can speak from experience because One People's Project momentum comes from the fact that we would write the stories that others would not. This woman right here, Ida B. Wells. This is Black History Month. Let's talk about it now. This is called Idavox. Because Idavox is, good grief, I gotta call him later. Speaking of independent media, Idavox is named after her. And the reason why is because Ida B. Wells was out there writing about lynchings when no other newspaper would. And she got that story out. So whenever you don't see the story being told, you tell it. That's what this is all about. That's what Idavox is about. We're looking for writers. We're looking for contributors, by the way. Hit me up. Hit me up at antifa@onepeoplesproject.com. Had that email for 20 years that I'm going to use it. antifa@onepeoplesproject.com. And we will talk. And if you want to contribute, can't pay anything yet. But if you would like to contribute stories, by all means, hit me up or pictures or whatever. We need people down in Florida. We need people down in Florida badly. So we need people all over the country, but Florida badly. so yeah, there is no reason why we cannot advance beyond that which we already have. And we have a calendar to warn people, to let people know when we're doing things around the country. And you can and it's a public calendar. You go to idavox.com, go to onepeoplesproject.com as well, and you just click on the submit an event button. And if you have an event that you want people to know about, good or bad, then just shoot it up to us. Yes, we do need Ohio. And we would most certainly review it and put it up on our calendar. And speaking of something that's on the calendar, and I said good or bad, this is definitely bad. I want to make sure everybody knows this is happening. Sometime in mid-April in Phoenix, Arizona, the National Socialist Movement is going to have a demo in Phoenix. Now, for those who don't know how the National Socialist Movement works, I like how this article that I'm reading right now, it's a hate group that specializes in theatrical and provocative protests. That's basically the gist of the NSM. My table is...
I have one of their members covered with
me. I usually have... It's funny. I'm in the One People's Project office, and I'm usually in. I usually have something related to the NSM laying around somewhere on this table. So it's me. I'm silly.
I have one of their members in studio with us here today. Not really sure if you've met any of them, but
yes.
Generally, this is about what they generally look like, and how they hang out in parks. When it's very dark, I'm just saying.
I got one of their cookbooks up here somewhere. Oh, there it is. Hold on, keep talking. I want to grab this.
Oh, do you want me to have a conversation with this guy for a little while? I don't know if you're breaking at the right time. I should probably stuff. We like to make fun. I mean, look, these people are clearly out of the fucking mind, so deserve some good ridicule here and there. And now Daryl's sitting down. And I can stop filling
the space. Cooking with the NSM. If y'all saw Alt-Right Age of Rage, I put this up. I presented this. And they actually have a cookbook. And among the things that they sell, the recipes is easy white chili. German cucumber salad, German red cabbage salad for all you El Duce fans, cheesy Italian soup. Let me see what else they have. I remember seeing, I think they had enchiladas in here somewhere. Kartoffelklasse, K-L-A-S-S-E, Parmesan asparagus. I mean, I've never tried any of these recipes because I feel like this is akin to the anarchist cookbook. Anything you eat is liable to kill you.
Nobody cooked me anything out of that, please, ever.
True. Everything in the anarchist cookbook blows you up, and I'm quite sure this will kill you too.
That's much better and easier read. I felt like way less nauseous after reading the anarchist cookbook.
So, in any case, the reason why we're even talking about the NSM is because every year they have the Olive Guardians love this. For those who don't know, the Olive Guardians are what are the, how the fuck do you make chili white?
This is America, man. I'm just saying. It ain't right. It ain't a good thing. But you know, they fucking figured it out.
Wait a minute. Let's go back to that recipe right quick. Dirty Mexican dip. Was in there somewhere. I knew that was somewhere in there. Dirty Mexican dip.
Oh, that's terrible.
That is sick. Mm. Remember, the guy who came up with the guy who ran the NSM is supposed to have redeemed himself. No, he didn't. I gotta find that. I can't kill myself with this. Any solid locker recipes? I wouldn't be surprised. And I just want to let Brian know that for some strange reason, I'm hearing an echo in my earphones.
See? Hold on.
So in any case, it's gone now. In any case, one of the things that, the reason why I even brought up the NSM in the first place.
Thank you for making me extraordinarily uncomfortable, by the way. That was a great segment.
Oh, don't worry, because here's the fun part about it all. They're going to be in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, every year they have a conference / rally. A conference on one day, and the next day, which is generally Friday, and the next day, Saturday, they have a rally where people yell and scream at them for about an hour or two. That's basically the order of the day. That's what you can expect. And they go around the country doing this. Since Charlottesville, that's all they've done. They haven't tried to network or organize beyond the rally. A lot of your hate groups after Charlottesville were pretty much done. They will only do flash mobs. They will only put stickers on light posts wherever they are. And they very seldom hold any rallies unless they can put the facade up that they're not racist. That's why the Proud Boys started blowing up all of a sudden. But the NSM is the only group that really still goes out there and holds rallies. But like I said, only thing they really really amount to in this day and age is political theater. I mean, so basically we try to, it's just, you know,
why Arizona?
General principle on our part. I think they just have some members that are there. I mean, they've been to Arizona before and they got turned out when they was in Arizona before. I mean, they caught some hell while I was out there. They caught hell in two places in particular. They caught hell in Arizona and in New Jersey. In New Jersey, they had their conference hall, which was basically, normally the conference is in a secret place. In Jersey, we learned the secret, and you know, people protested it, and the NSM was not too pleased about it, so they thought that they can go out and attack folks, and they failed miserably.
That's important for people to understand that in Arizona, people in Arizona who may be associated with that party are planning to have some rallies and stuff, and so sharing that information or letting people know about Idavox in Arizona, where some Nazis are doing dumb shit, could be useful.
So I'll have more
our podcast listeners.
So everybody who's watching right now, if you have, like I said, if you have events that you think that we should be spotlighting on Idavox or on One People's Project, just go to idavox.com or onepeoplesproject.com and click on that and look for our public calendar. Click on submit an event. We'll review it, and if we like what we see, because we're not going to have any BS up there, we're not going to promote any crap, you know. No Nazis, no right wing groups trying to promote themselves. We are definitely going to make sure that when we do promote, when we do talk about right wing groups, that we're going to be mostly talking about the opposition. Dig it? So. And how people are going to fight back against it. So that's how this plays. Thanks much, Jamie. And we are coming in on 5 minutes. We are coming in on 5 minutes before the hour, and we should cut off in time. I know, Brian, you wanted to have some folks come on. Did you want to have folks come on now or no?
Yeah. I wanted to say that I miss some music, though. We gotta have some music back. I'm gonna play some music if you don't mind. But I do want to introduce a couple of people here. One who I think you should know by now if you watch Revolution Radio, the writer for NJR Live, but she also writes for the Idavox Report now. Leah Giantonio. Hi, Leah. How are you? what is coming up. And Pat's going to be joining us tomorrow, but I'll let Leah tell us what's coming up on tomorrow, because I know you're going to talk about something in your wheelhouse and your expertise, and then we're going to talk to something that one of our editorial board members brought up. So we're going to be doing both. For Leah Weeks. Oh, Leah, there we go. Oh, see, I got the music right there. Right. What's going on tomorrow, Leah? What are we doing for NJR Live?
We are going to be talking about weed, which is great. So it got legalized in New Jersey, or we voted a couple months ago, but it's not actually legal. People are still being arrested. So we're going to be talking about what sort of time frame we can actually expect, because we've been bullshitted enough.
It's true. It's true. And then we're going to have, you know, we do Around the Horn. We try to get into some grassroots activism. And after that, we're going to have a little bit of a panel discussion. Something that a comrade of mine from back in my tradesman days, back when I was a worker for a large corporation and I was an IBEW member, my comrade Pat is here. And he brought up a topic we're going to discuss in a panel tomorrow. Pat, do you remember what that discussion is going to be about?
Do I remember? Yeah, vaguely. we're going to talk. Oh, let me get my camera right here. We're going to talk about, you know, generally the technology. How technology is affecting workers these days, you know, and a lot of it's good in a lot of ways. I guess you can work easier, but in general, it's taking a lot of jobs away, I think. And I think that is the beginning, you know, anyway, of, you know, could be it's becoming a problem, and it could be a bigger problem. And then also maybe eventually, you know, I'd like to talk about how technology influences our whole society and how we think and everything. Cause I think technology is a big, you know, it's a big topic, but I mean, how it affects labor. And basically most of the new innovation is all about saving hours, work hours, and then people lose their jobs. I mean, that's like what they put the money into is that kind of technology, not technology that enhances people's experience at work, for instance, which we could do, you know, we don't do stuff like that. So, yeah, we'll see.
There you go. So that's gonna be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock right here, Revolution Radio at RevRad Nat. Check us out. That's it. That's all I got. All
right, take care. Before we go, remember, I'm on Twitter at D Lamont Jenkins. I IdaVox is at IdaVox OPP. You can also find D Lamont Jenkins as Instagram, and I forgot where else. I think Venmo. Yes, One People's Project is a 501c3. If you donate into One People's Project through Venmo, just make sure you say so I can attribute it such. And you can also do it via Cash App But you gotta look for, but you don't look for D. Lamont Jenkins. I normally use D. Lamont Jenkins, but on Cash App, that $, the notorious DLJ. So just look for that. And One People's Project is One People's PROJ. At One People's PROJ. Of course, you can go to idavox.com.org.net. You can go to idavox.com. You can also find us on Facebook and anarchist. Listen to me, International Anti-Fascist Unity Coalition, also known as the AUC. When I'm in proper company, when I'm not in proper company, it's AFUC. You can go to Days of Unity, and you can learn about our food drive that we have every first Saturday of the month, February 6th. We'll have it in I guess that's my cue. So thank you very much for having us. We will have a guest next week, and I will see y'all then. Take care, y'all.
thrown against the car, handcuffed, and that's what happened last night.
The police kicked in the door, shot him twice in the chest, and he died.
Before you knew it, we had 500 families. We had over 100 volunteers calling us. We were on the phone constantly.
I can't get it. And I got one police department telling me they don't know who's in charge. I got another police department here. Everybody's got a gun, and nobody knows who's in charge. Did anybody figure out who's in charge yet? Is there anybody in charge here? Any police officer in charge? Are you in charge? I can't find anybody in charge. That's the problem.
Thank you.